part in John is my second favorite part of the Christmas story, you might say. Luke is a lot of details with the shepherds and the announcements and the good things are right. You can picture yourself in that story. And then here, John, probably the most praised to Jesus, goes from the Gospel of John in terms of his birth. So if you want to say, boy, you know, to praise the Lord during Christmas time, get into John chapter 1. When I was growing up, for a little while when I went to church, it was a very formal liturgical church. This passage was always read around Christmas, and it was read first in a Russian language, which I had no clue what was being read. But every couple of verses, they would stop and they would ring bells and then keep reading and stop, ring bells. And then they did it in English. And it seemed, even though it seemed really long to, you know, a little seven-year-older, I knew this is, you know, this is very impressive, whatever they're talking about. Must be really important because we are standing here a long time and all these bells are ringing and so forth. But God's faithful in his word to get our attention. One of the big questions that God answers around Christmas and even in this passage is, how can people really know God? Okay, the world did not receive him and didn't really know him. He came to the world didn't really know him. So how can people really know God? And one simple answer that leads into one of the analogies of Jesus here, or his title actually, to honor him, is how can people know God? Same way we get to know each other. We speak. Okay, we speak words to each other. So one way we can get to know God, he speaks to us. Most specifically in his word and with his word, who is Jesus. And if I stood here and didn't say a word, you wouldn't know what I liked, what I didn't like, what I loved. And God hasn't left us in the dark like that. You know, he has come. Old Francis Schaeffer wrote a book, he is here and he is not silent. And God wasn't about to be silent when it came to his son or the salvation he brought. So we're very thankful. God's the best communicator in the whole universe. So sometimes we think, oh, I just wish he would be a little more clear, you know. He's more clear than us. And if there's a difficulty in hearing him, it's probably because there's clutter or distraction in our own soul. So to be patient with yourself and to continue to seek God and his good word, who is Jesus. So God has spoken to us in the word of God. And it was a big deal to the Hebrew culture, the word. And everything about the Lord was associated with what he said and then did. You think of Genesis. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. Okay, he spoke and action took place. And that's the way the Lord is. So in Hebrew, the word often means God in action or God speaking or God revealed. Okay, his word, something great to our feet, and a lamp to our path, and we get to know the light of that lamp more fully in the person of Jesus. So that's the Hebrew meaning of the word, and the Greek meaning also real important, the one the Apostle John, you know, chose to use. The Greek word is the reason for everything, the reason behind everything, a title for God the Son. And in Jesus, the invisible God becomes visible. Echo of this passage that Jesus is the Word of God can be found in Colossians, real great passage. All things were created by Christ and for Christ. And it's, John says the same thing. God didn't make anything without his Son, without the Word. And the Word became flesh. Living Bible does a great honor to Jesus in this passage, paraphrasing greatly. In the beginning, there was, this is a couple words added here. In the beginning, there was Jesus Christ with God. He was with God from the beginning and has always been God. So it honors God the Son. Doesn't leave any dots, you know, when we think, I wonder what God's like, you know. Well, we turn to the Lord. He's the Word who's truth. and he's the Word made flesh. Jesus said this about the record of who he is. These scriptures testify about me. So the written Word of God is special because it points to the living Word of God. And Hebrews in the NIV gives the Lord great honor again. He has spoken to us by his Son, through whom he made the universe. The Son's the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. So Jesus holds everything together. You know, our lives, our past, we dedicate to him. He puts it back together, present, as a moment-by-moment walk, and the future, of course, belongs to him. If we want to know what God's like, we look at Jesus. Remember, one of the disciples said, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough. And Jesus said back, I've been with you a long time, and you should know that if you've seen me, you've seen God. Okay? If you've seen me, you've seen God. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And he would send his Spirit to reside in us and take control. So Jesus says the Word of God introduces himself to us specifically in his Word or his Bible. And in my life, if I took the phrases Jesus the Word, Jesus the Light, Jesus the Life, the Word would have make most impact in the way the Lord has got a hold of my soul. It was pretty much in the Bible that I first met him and all his heart, his teaching, who he was. And then, of course, you yield yourself to him. So I'd say that Jesus being the Word of God, you know, equal to the Father, thank him that he has spoken to you. Okay, thank you. Thank him he's spoken to you. He's introduced himself to you. And he continues to speak to us in his Word. An old movie has soldiers going to battle and wanting to feel close to Jesus, the Word, but also remembering the written Word. And so they have a prayer that's kind of like this, with rifle in one hand and the good book in the other, whether we die on land or sea, we know that you, blessed Jesus, are with us, so we fear no evil. Okay, so they got faith in Christ by just saying, oh, this word means a lot because it points us to our blessed Jesus. We can know him and follow him. So you and I, we face life with the Word of God, who assures us of Jesus, the Word of God, in person. And so rejoice that he's the Word who dwelt among us. And then Jesus is the life, the passage points out. In him was life. You think of the blessing of life, and sometimes winter gets dreary because the life is hidden with the trees and the flowers and so on. And we feel dreary if Jesus, the life, we're hiding him in some manner from ourselves or from others. But he gives physical life, spiritual life, or what the Bible calls eternal life. Okay, in him was life. Jesus calls himself the life in John 11. He says, I'm the resurrection and the life. So this life is apparently stronger than death. And we're so grateful for the plan of salvation. And then in John 14, Jesus said this, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So if we want to say, you know, what's life all about? What, you know, how can I throw myself into my days and know God's help? It has to do with who Jesus is. He's life itself. Years ago, there was a commercial out where people were enjoying different things, different experiences, maybe being in the woods or by an ocean or just being with friends. And the phrase, which is very common, I think was shared, this is the life, you know, this is the life. And those things were good. I've said that many a time, maybe if my team was winning the football game and I was very relaxed. Oh, this is the life, you know. Here we are, 28-0 winning, and so on. But and there's nothing wrong with those things. But when you trust Christ, you experience life very deeply. We look at him and we say, oh, well, this is the life. This is the life. Gives rest to my soul, gladness to my heart. It gives me a direction. It gives me a love that I didn't have before. And so he is the life. He's your contentment, your confidence, and your rest. And Paul pointed this out to young Timothy. Early Christians, you know, they were just like us. They were just, I just want to live and get some things together and go with the physical world. And 1 Timothy says, people go after physical things, and they should be generous with them and be rich in good deeds. And then it follows with this phrase, so they may take hold of life that is really life. Okay? So Paul was saying, look, God gave you a physical world that can honor him. But really, the physical world points us to take hold of life that is really life. And that has to do with God himself and Christ. So take hold of the eternal life that you were called to. That's what God's word says earlier in 1 Timothy. But he's our life, and we're so thankful to him. Our life in the present and our life for the future. And I find in my life, Jesus a great cure for any strains of boredom, apathy, or just emotional deadness in my soul. You know, that he's life, and his presence brightens the day. Not to have an emotional high all the time, but to have a trust, because he's trustworthy as the life. And then Jesus as the light is what John says also. Jesus reminds us who he is in later in John's gospel. He says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And there's no sense, you know, believing in the Lord just in certain moments of closeness or say grace before a meal, which is good, but very brief times of noticing him. But really, to follow him is the point of who he is. He said 17 times in the Gospels, follow me. And so he says, if you follow me, you won't be in darkness, you'll have the light of life. And John put the light this way, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now, that's a big one in today's world. There's a lot of darkness out there, you know. But is the darkness overcoming the light? It can't. It's impossible. We see that illustrated in the physical world. You have a closet, you know, in one of your rooms, and light's on in the room. You open the closet, there's no light. The darkness doesn't spill out of the closet and like, oh, it's all dark in here now. Because we had to open the dark closet. No, the light invades the darkness. And light a candle. It's not hushed out by the darkness. You can see the candle from a great distance. The light shines in the darkness. Who Jesus is shines in the darkness. The darkness will not overcome it, has not overcome it. There's a city in Manila. The city of Manila in the Philippines, I think it's the capital, has a huge garbage dump right outside the city. It's just the way they set up their refuse disposal there. And so there's tens of thousands of poor people who live on the garbage dump, because that's where they get the cardboard or a little bit of tin to make a house, some food that might be still edible. They live on the garbage dump, maybe their whole lives, maybe generation after generation. And of those tens of thousands of people who live on that garbage dump, there's dozens who are Christians, who are missionaries. And they thought, if we're going to go with news, we have to be among the people that we're bringing the news to. So we're going to live on the garbage dump too. And they left, modest, comfortable home like you and I would have, another As if somebody said, just another day in paradise where they used to live, but now they live in the garbage dump to bring light to darkness. And when Jesus left heaven, you know, the beautiful halls of heaven where there was no sin and nothing that was going to be detrimental to God, or nothing would be turning away from him. He left that to come into the terrible conditions of the world. You know, there would be brokenness and sin and heartache and sadness and death. And he said, I'm going. And the light came into the world, and the darkness has not overcome it. The darkness didn't overcome your soul, because the light of Jesus is there. And he's stronger than the darkness you have. You might feel down at times, that's for sure. You might have much sin in your life, that's for sure. But Christ is stronger than even all those points of pain and rebellion you have. In fact, he says, the Bible says, if you're broken about the sinner and contrite, God doesn't despise you. He's close to the brokenhearted. Saves those who are crushed in spirit. And isn't it great when you think of Jesus and this wonderful Christmas news? Child is born. Savior of the world. That who Jesus is, and that true story hasn't been relegated to the pages of fairy tale or fable. Lord knows the world has tried. You know, but it just keeps on shining. He keeps on changing lives. You know, 125,000 per day turn to Christ for the first time. What is it? 3,000 per hour turn to the Lord in some manner. That math is probably inconsistent, but those are the ones I've heard. And, Jesus, loving the world seems to, not that God's love would gain momentum, but it seems to gain souls and even gain in our lives. You know, that one time we walked before God and tripped and fell every hour, and now we walk with God, and each hour we lean on him better. We rejoice in him. We're able to love more fruit of his spirit, more of his truth changing our lives. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So as you celebrate Christmas, remember these true good things about Jesus. He's the Word of God, God who came. He's the life that your soul longs for. And he's the light that will disperse the darkness in your heart and as you go and share him with other people. Give God great thanks for who he is as Jesus. Let's pray together.